Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Sunday!
Sunday! May 25th through 28th, 2017. It's Maryland Death. Featuring Five Finger Death Punch, Jeff Tate, formerly of Queensryche, Steel Panther, Guy Fieri,
Flavor Town,
Varg in the Burzum,
Blink 182,
Kings of Leon,
Twisted,
Attila,
Buckcherry,
Hoobastank,
25 to Light,
Taylor,
Tequila,
Phil Anselmo,
Him,
Falling in Reverse,
Cunt Hunt 777,
Neurotic November,
Blackberry Smoke,
All That Remains,
Texas Hippie Coalition,
Steely Dan,
Trap,
Jetsy,
Snow White's Poison Bite,
Grand Belial's Key,
and the one and only.
Sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings,
Miller Lite,
Ford F-150, and Monster Energy Drink.
Go to deathfest.com for tickets and info.
Be there,
be there,
be there,
or be dead.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Boy, howdy. You just heard Iron Legion from Ronin. That is coming to you from our choice for the best unsigned band in Michigan, Blackgate. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, as always, Randall Thor. This is the Toil of Hell radio show. Randall, what it do?
I love you so much, Joe. Thank you for playing power metal.
You are welcome. And I got to say, I've listened to this entire record because I'm always going to support our choices for the best unsigned bands in America. And that right there, Iron Legion, is by far the most ripping track on that album. So much riff.
Yeah, it's I imagine the rest of the album's probably pretty similar. Maybe not as riffy because that's pretty intense. But it's got a lot of Hellstar going on there, although not as outrageous in the riff department or shred department, which nobody really is. So that's not a dig at anybody. That's awesome to even be on the same level. There's bass solos. There's death metal style blast beats under the riffing. There's tons of just massive amounts of influence from 80s American power metal. The vocals match up with the riffs. Oh, man.
If you open up a track that was that bass tapping, that's awesome. I want more of that.
Yes, I want more bass solos in power metal. We need those because everybody just turns down the bass in almost every genre except for stoner metal, apparently.
Yeah, which is nobody wants to listen to that. Ronin is out right now, and you can check it out by clicking one of the links below this media player. And I highly recommend picking it up, saying hi to him on Facebook, say the Toilet of Hell sends their toilety love.
We're going to definitely not flush that one. Let it float around in there for a while.
Yes, indeed. This week's show is a pretty good one, and I can say that with authority because we've already recorded most of it. In a little bit, we're going to have Nate Garrett of Spirit Adrift and Gate Creeper come in and chat with us about country music and getting through some inner struggles. But in the meantime, I've got news that I think is relevant to literally every person listening right now.
Oh. What do you got?
My girlfriend just moved in, and we have cats here now.
Yes.
So I can now sympathize with your cat stories.
Are cats the best? How many times have they pooped on your carpet?
Just once, and it also got on the walls.
Is it just like explosive diarrhea?
So the cat was not happy about being plucked from its place and then put in my home. So it took a giant shit in the cat carrier and got it all over him and his brother. And then as soon as they were able to escape, just threw it everywhere.
Yeah. Albus does that too. He's terrified of the car and of the cat. He doesn't mind the cat carrier. I've caught him sleeping in there before, but just the noises from the car and the moving around scares the crap out of him. Literally. So that's, they should be okay now. That they're in a home. They'll probably hide and be really timid for a week, and then they'll be happy.
So far, they think the place is theirs. They're pretty much doing whatever the hell they feel like.
That's a cat.
Yeah, the one place that's off limits is my office, and they've already made their way in there to knock all the crap off the shelves in the closet.
Albus isn't that aggressive. He's weird. He only knocks cups over if they are empty. And not breakable, thank God he does not care about glass. And if they have sweet tea in them, and it's a styrofoam, if it's a styrofoam cup and it's anything but sweet tea, he'll leave it alone. But if it's sweet tea, he chews on the straw until he's bored, then knocks it over and spills sweet tea all over the floor.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe you should just order him his own sweet tea.
Yeah, I'll just have to bring him his own next time, put it in his water bowl.
I think he's trying to send you that message, like, hey, jerk.
Yeah, dude, I like sweet tea, man, come on.
So
put a little sugar in my water.
Yeah, you had a pretty interesting week. Why don't you tell me what
else? Oh, boy. So if some of y'all saw in the Toilet of Hell Facebook group, Discordia and I had a nice little musical collaboration that involved scaring every dog in America with my recorder, scaring every eyeball who saw me in my fat gut in Daisy Dukes playing around, and Hail Dale, Raise Hail.
Hail Dale. What was that track you were playing? Was that My Heart Will Go On?
Yeah, I was trying to play My Heart Will Go On, but I practiced it for all of about 45 seconds before recording. And then Josh from Discordia. Yeah, it shows. I didn't play the right notes at all. Somebody's like, is that track? No, sorry. It's fun because Josh and I were talking it out, trying to plan something fun out for this, right? And He didn't tell me his idea for the sword. He figured that out but right before we filmed and immediately found the first belt he could and tied it to his waist. And so, you know, at the end, I'm doing as straight a face as possible. And thankfully, Josh and I both can – we got a strong poker faces going on. And I hear him pull out the sword and yell, "Hey, old Dale," at the end. And I'm just itching to turn around and see what in the world he just did. And I don't know when he picked up my sword. I don't know where he found it. But he found it and incorporated the video without even telling or asking me, which, of course, I'm very happy he did because it adds a whole other layer of what in the world just happened.
I just want to add here that I am completely unsurprised that you own a sword.
Yeah, it's combat ready. I bought it at a Renaissance fair.
I want to know what percentage of our audience owns swords because I feel like it's something upwards of 90%.
I was about to say, you're not going to make fun of me for this right now, because everybody who will make fun of me probably totally owns a sword.
Let me know in the comments if you own a sword so that I can know who to shove into a locker.
And we have swords, so go ahead, have fun. We'll impale you. Mine's combat ready. It will actually physically maim and or kill you.
How do you know for sure?
It's really sharp.
You'll never know unless you actually use it.
I've cut up plenty of cardboard boxes with it.
I would,
like, throw them in the air and cleave them in two with one swing.
I made that part up.
I'm not nearly good or strong enough to do that, but I got like three quarters through it.
I hope you were inspired by the kid who samurai sorted all those water bottles. It was the internet sensation a couple of years ago.
Yeah, one of my friends is some kind of ancient martial arts master with Eastern weapons to the point where they actually have worked on designing the martial arts school for a weapon that they don't have one yet. So based on pictures from old books, which is – so he's really, really good. And he says that kid is absolute garbage if you couldn't figure that out already.
I just assumed he looked more like a juggalo than an ancient kung fu master.
Honestly, he's just me if I weighed 300 pounds at 13, really. If I had a sword and a bunch of water bottles, I would have been absolutely doing the exact same thing.
I'm so glad that the internet wasn't really – as widespread back when I was 13.
Me too, man. I would have already just hung myself. There would have been no escape from some of the shame and stupidity I would have gotten into on the internet at 13-year-old.
I know. And here's the worst part. Now that it is here, there are like full-grown men who are using the internet as just cringily as possible. And they're mostly commenting on Destroyer 666 posts on the Toilet of Hell Facebook page.
Like, these people are going to have to live with these comments 20 years from now. But I imagine interviewers aren't going to go looking up everything they ever did and say, well, you commented in 2016 on the Toilet of Hell. But these are still incredibly cringy.
Yeah, I don't think that, like, toll booth operators get judged that harshly in interviews.
No, of course not. Or, garbage collectors or janitors.
Those are hardworking people.
No, they're good people usually, but, you know.
I'm thinking maybe
I should have picked another position because I actually every garbage person and janitor I've ever met.
What is the most useless job you could do? TSA agent?
TSA agent's up there.
Yeah.
Toll booth operator. Who are the people who call you to ask you dumb questions for political offices?
Pollsters.
Pretty low. Yeah, cold callers. Oof.
Meter maids?
That's a pretty easy job. All you do is just ruin people's day.
Yeah, I mean, you could get a real kick out of that.
That's true, it could be fun.
Anyway, we published a story this week about how Destroyer 666 thinks that they're badass for threatening journalists, which is, you know, cringy in itself. But just to really nail it home, some of their fans found our story and decided to make their feelings known, which... I found endlessly entertaining. For example, a guy who goes by Dave comments, and I quote, "Toilet of Hell says it all, just a blog full of shit."
Can't argue with that. Where's the lie?
There's no lie there. He's got us.
We should just back up. They figured it out. We had a good run, Joe.
Sorry, Dave. There were lots of people who left...
Let's not leave out Dave Deceiver.
Oh, Dave Deceiver. That's a pretty badass name.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mess with that guy.
There were a lot of people who just went on a screed, and I didn't bother to read it all because it was so poorly worded, barely English. But this one began on a very strong note. Oh, cry me a river, you butthurt millennial. I think that's just a brilliant piece of writing. You could start an epic poem with that in medias res. Oh, spirits, cry me a river, you butthurt millennials.
Yeah, you could just go into some slam poetry and just slay somebody with that.
Yeah, I mean...
That guy definitely needs to think about this career.
You have the soul of a poet. It's just manifested itself in an edgy 40-year-old man who's angry at the Toilet of Hell Facebook page.
Season of Mist were absolutely right. What goes around comes around. Oh. Okay. So, yeah. We disagreed with you, so we should get shot now.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you didn't read the post, I asked Seasons of Mist if they had a comment on the story. The founder of that label just replied with, Talk Shit Gets Shot by Body Count, which is a really good song. Like, I thought that was a strong return to form for a band that hasn't really done anything for a long time.
Except for the message implied in the response email. Childish at best.
I'm fairly certain he was trying to tell me to basically go get fucked. That's fine. I don't care. He's French.
French people don't like anybody anyways, right?
Yeah. How about this one? Fuck your peace and happiness. Fucking hipsters invading the metal scene. Don't try to analyze something you will never understand. Listen to Radiohead or something instead. I think that's personally hilarious because I'd rather listen to anything than Radiohead.
I mean, Radiohead doesn't, like, piss me off. They don't really enrage me as far as stuff that, you know, would appear on the radio goes. But, I mean, they're not good either.
But I do want to apologize for invading the metal scene. I didn't.
Yeah, man.
I didn't mean to do that.
Sorry. I mean, we're just trying to enjoy music over here and not be racist dickheads. So sorry about, you know, coming over and invading your safe space. Do they realize they're really just arguing for a safe space, even though they hate that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy thing. If you call someone out for doing something racist, suddenly you're the Nazi.
Right, hey, my guy did something really bad. Oh, well, you're wrong. It's like when you... It's like when you that mom with a "Why is my child not in the field?" haircut,
yeah.
Or kind of speaks to the manager haircut.
Yeah.
She cuts in line in front of you at the grocery store, and you say, "Oh, excuse me, I was here first." And she turns around, and goes, "Ah, rude,
fucking Karen."
Karen, yeah, but it's like I'm not. This isn't how this works. Help.
All right, how about one more?
All right, one more.
Total nerd shit, dumb memes all over your soft cock page. Bring on the division. This is our thing. They have nothing to do with it.
Oh.
I mean, we do have dumb memes all over the page. I don't know if they qualify as soft cock or hard cock, though. I just can't speak on that.
I'm not sure. I haven't seen the genitals in question, so I can't really comment. I have seen the memes, and you would have to pull their pants off for me to...
Frankly,
I'm trying to make a joke, and it's failing miserably, Joe. Save me.
Frankly, I'm not comfortable analyzing memes that closely.
Yeah, agreed. I'd rather just look at the meme on surface value and move on with my life.
So we've got a whole lot of show today. And frankly, frankly, if you're listening right now and paying attention to my words, you're not worth it. Like, this is too good for you. But
we should give it to him anyways.
I'm going
to
give it to you anyways because I'm a nice guy.
Uh-huh.
Here we go. Spirit Adrift, Form and Force. You just heard Form and Force by Spirit Adrift. That's from Chain to Oblivion, out August 12th on Prosthetic. And today we've got a very special guest with us, the mastermind behind Spirit Adrift, Nate Garrett. Nate, how are you doing today?
I'm great, man. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Doing great.
So I can see your resume in front of me here. You are, of course, the man that does everything in Spirit Adrift. You also play lead guitar in Takeover and Destroy. And you recently joined Gatecreeper. Is this correct? Am I looking at the right LinkedIn profile?
You are. There is one amendment that I guess hasn't been made official. I'm actually not in Takeover and Destroy anymore.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Everything else is correct.
So is Spirit Adrift, like, that's what you're putting most of your time and effort into right now?
Well, not necessarily right now. Gatecreeper is kind of has been my primary focus as far as like playing live and stuff. That Spirit Adrift stuff, I did the EP in May, and I booked the studio time for that before the EP was even done being written, and then I actually booked the studio time for the full length right after that.
Oh, wow.
Which was in October of last year. So from like May to October of last year, that's pretty much like all I was doing with my life. But since then, I didn't even really know if I was ever going to do it live or anything like that. So Gatecreeper has definitely been like the focus lately. But I think I've got a live band assembled for Spirit Adrift. And I think when I get back from all this touring I have coming up, we're going to hit it finally with Spirit Adrift.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, playing live is, you can't really compare anything with that. It's great to make a wonderful studio album, but get on stage and shredding or playing something really sincere or whatever you need to do, there's nothing like that.
Yeah, I agree, man.
I've listened to this Spirit Adrift record. It's a very it's a cathartic kind of vibe to the entire thing. I imagine that must be incredibly gratifying to play live.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the momentum that you had going into that EP and then immediately making this record?
Yeah, sure. I think everybody that's interested has probably read that Noisy article at this point. So just to quickly summarize that, I had like hit a pretty low point and decided I needed to desperately like change my entire approach to life, you know, part of which a huge part of which involved sobering up. And when I did that, you know, I grew up in the South, like playing Black Sabbath worship and I Hate God worship and that sort of stuff, which I hadn't done in a while. And man, as soon as I, you know, quit pouring poison into my body constantly, these songs just kind of came out. It was really, especially the first song on the EP, it was like the most, I don't know, just free and like natural and no thought involved whatsoever to that song coming out. I don't even really remember writing it, to be honest. I know I had one riff, like that first real heavy riff in that song, but the rest of it just kind of like came together.
It's entirely natural, no effort.
Yeah, yeah, really, man. And you know, I had talked to a buddy about recording it, and then strangely enough, I called Bob Hoag, who has recorded all the Takeover and Destroy stuff, to get rates for, because I had forgotten, I guess, how much he had charged us for the last record, and I knew we were going to be recording coming up, which ended up being in January of this year, 2016. But while we were talking, I just kind of mentioned to him I had these songs, and he was completely and utterly adamant. I mean, he really didn't give me a choice. He was like, I'm going to record them. You know, I explained to him how important it was and what the whole process was and stuff like that. And really, it's funny. I've been talking to you know, people the last couple of days. And something that I've really started to realize is I went into the Spirit Adrift stuff unlike anything I've ever done. I had no intentions of doing anything. I literally the only, you know, I told my fiance at the time, I don't care what happens with this. I need to do it, and I want to like hold a copy of it in my hands. And that was it, you know. And I think I can't speak for Chase from Gate Creeper, but I'm pretty sure that when he started that band, it was the same kind of thing. Like he didn't have any intention of even playing live or anything. He just felt like he needed to do it, you know. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's very interesting that out of all the stuff that I've ever done, it seems like these two projects are getting the most momentum.
Yeah, when you don't have expectations on them, they've taken you really, really far. And
yeah, I think it's people can sense when the energy and the intent is like pure, totally pure. And that's not to say that I've never made music that wasn't like from my heart and from my gut and something I really believed in. But I will say that every other thing I've done, there's been hopes and aspirations of like getting signed or going on tours or whatever. And with this stuff, there was like zero of that.
You were just completely out to make a good record that you liked. And that's kind of how I try to approach writing as well. Just always just try to make the best thing I can make possible that's going to satisfy me the most. And hopefully everybody else likes it too.
That's funny. Right. When I approach writing, I try to think of the thing that will make me the most money as quickly as possible.
Well, we differ.
Yeah.
Check out my Mumford & Sons tribute project.
Well, that's funny, man. But it hits kind of close to home because, you know, it's real easy to get caught up. Like the more minor success that you have that starts to build up, it is easy to kind of get caught up in like, other shit that's in like the back of your mind, you know. And so sometimes it takes some kind of reminder to get back to a place where you're like, well, I started playing music because it makes me feel good, and right. Maybe it can make other people feel good, and everything else is bullshit when it comes down to it.
Mm.
So you must be incredibly busy with both of these projects and this record launching and Gate Creeper is you mentioned you played with Dragged Into Sunlight and Primitive Man the other week, right?
Nice. Yeah, and Cult Leader too.
That's awesome.
And all of those bands are so awesome, and they're such cool people, man. We've known the Primitive Man dudes for a long time, and they are, I mean, their tour ethic is like astounding, man. They're such an inspiration in that sense. They dedicate everything that they have to that band, you know, and it's awesome. There's not very many people in the world that can do that. And then meeting the Dragged Into Sunlight dudes was so cool because you never know. I mean, that band's like kind of mysterious and stuff. They are just like the sweetest dudes.
Interesting, right? Never got that.
Yeah, you never know. Well, I mean, not to detract from how terrifying they are too, because I mean, they're really sweet and genuine guys in the way they interacted with us, and you know, we were observing them talking to people that were huge fans of theirs too, and they didn't even hint at like talking down to anybody or anything like that. But at the same time, I mean, they had a fucking crew, and they were like, they're the real deal. Like the whole insanity and like, I don't know, man. They kind of roll like with this philosophy and mindset of like Hawkwind or somebody like anything could happen at any time. Those dudes, like, I got that sense, you know. But they were super nice guys. But yeah, I have been pretty busy, man.
So not to to distract, but you mentioned that you were filming something that day as well.
Yeah. Well, actually had to put together two music videos for you could call them music videos for the Spirit Adrift album release leading up to it, and then you know, Gate Creeper obviously has a like a album PR schedule as well. So over the weekend we were filming the first music video. It's for one of my favorite songs on the album that I think is probably going to surprise people in a lot of ways. But it's a funny story. The last time we were in L.A., we played, and there were kind of rumblings, and Chase, our singer, was selling merch and had talked to this kid. Everybody was like, have you guys seen that movie It Follows?
Yes.
Okay.
The SCD vampire thing.
Yeah, exactly. So we played L.A., and after the show, everybody was like, dude, that kid from It Follows was in the pit, like, fucking shit up.
That's awesome.
And we were like, what? And, you know, long story short, our buddy Kier, we ended up becoming, I mean, at this point, I would say we're really good friends. We just clicked in a way that, like, you'll click with somebody on, like, on tour that you meet, or at like summer camp or whatever, where you just click like immediately and you're like super homies forever, you know. But
right,
we got him down for the weekend, and he was kind of like the star of the video, and dude, we worked his ass off. You know, he had long pants on and it was like 110 degrees, and we were chasing him with cars and shit. Like
you filmed this in Arizona?
Yeah, he came down.
Oh, gosh.
That's a war crime, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can be put in jail for that.
Well, I don't think he's pressing charges, but we'll see.
Not yet.
But yeah, we filmed some of it in Phoenix, and then he came down to Tucson for the show and stage dived like 15,000 times while we were playing.
That is awesome.
Yeah, he's a cool guy, man.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching that. Do you have any idea when it might be released?
I can't really say anything about that. Yeah.
Secrets.
Like within at least 100 years from now, right?
It'll hopefully come out before Donald Trump like destroys civilization as we know it.
Right. Okay, I mean, that's a pretty fair.
Fascism could be cool. Like all kinds of art could come out of it. But no,
I personally
mean, that's
welcome.
A silver lining like a motherfucker, but okay.
I'm trying to get something out of this. Yeah, trying to get something out of this. Otherwise, life is an endless nightmare.
I appreciate your optimism, man.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've been talking so much about Gate Creeper. Let's go ahead and play a track from him. Oh, yes. You just heard Carved into Stone by Gatecreeper. That's from a four-way split featuring Homewrecker, Gatecreeper, Outer Heaven, and Scorched, which just released last month. And it ruled. So you just joined the band after the release of that four-way split. Is that correct, Nate?
Let me try to figure out the timeline. I went on tour with them a year ago, like to the day.
Oh, wow.
Like a few days ago, because Facebook has been reminding me of, like, this is what you were doing a year ago.
Isn't it humiliating sometimes?
Sometimes, dude. Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you're like a blackout drunk for half of your life.
I was an edgelord in college, so I could see my old college posts, and I'm like,
Gotcha. But so, yeah, I went on tour with them like a year ago doing merch. And then shortly after that, they asked me to join. So my buddy Max played guitar on the song that everyone just heard. Really cool guy. He's got another band called Sovereign that's I'm like super picky when it comes to black metal, and they're like one of the best black metal bands right now, I think. But
I want to check that out, definitely.
Yeah, Sovereign, man. They're super badass, based out of Phoenix. But so after that tour, they asked me to join, I think shortly before Southwest Terror Fest last year.
That was the outdoor the open air thing, right?
It's not open air. It's a big festival in Tucson that it's split between several venues. So I mean, people are outside and stuff. But last year, I'm pretty sure all the stages were inside. But it's funny, that was my first show with Gatecreeper, and I literally had to run down there, play the show, and drive back because I was in the studio doing the Spirit Adrift full length Chained to Oblivion, like at that exact same time.
That sounds intense.
Yeah. I mean, it beats the alternative for sure. But my first show with Gatecreeper was October of last year. But I guess it's just taken a while, as it always does, for the wheels to get fully in motion for that four-way split to come out.
Gotcha. I get a serious Dismember vibe from that track, and it's...
I'm hearing lots of Asphyx and Hail of Bullets as well.
Yeah, that's the good stuff, the good old-school death metal stuff.
They would be super stoked when they hear you guys say that, for sure.
Yeah, because I feel like when I hear stuff like this, I can just imagine some dude sitting in his house just... like an ever-flowing stream on repeat for days and days, and then picking up his guitar and just popping out an entire album like that. That's how I imagine albums like this are created.
But I would replace like an ever-flowing stream with Massive Killing Capacity.
Nice.
I mean, also a great choice. A little bit more aggressive, I think, probably.
Yeah.
So you mentioned
also some Crowbar too. Throw some Crowbar in there.
Okay.
Yeah, you mentioned before we started the show that you're kind of a fan of everything. So genre doesn't matter as much to you, but this is legit old school death metal. What other genres do you find yourself listening to more than others?
Old school country, a lot, man.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's ironic. I have a huge Waylon Jennings like Flying W tattoo on my back.
That is awesome.
It's interesting too, because I grew up, you know, in Oklahoma, and then later Arkansas, and you know, listening to Slayer and Black Flag and all kinds of heavy stuff like that. And Black Sabbath has always been my favorite band, but I've always tried to be friends with like everybody too. Like I approach people, I think, like I approach music, like I don't care really what you're into. It's more about like what kind of person you are or whatever. So I had like a lot of like shit kicker redneck friends and stuff that would listen to like Hank Williams Sr. and Bob Wills and Waylon Jennings. And I'm pretty sure Waylon Jennings was a dude when I realized like, oh, like, these dudes are 100 times more punk rock than the dudes in Black Flag or like the dudes in Slate. Like, the old school country dudes were like the gnarliest motherfuckers that have ever played music. I think
they are as DIY as you can get, too.
Yeah,
like, and punks always scream DIY or die, but these rednecks build everything, do everything. They built that van.
They built their careers, you know, and they broke the law 24/7, and they wrote songs that were like as real and as like tortured as it gets, you know.
I'm a huge fan of George Jones, who is the only famous person I can think of that ever got a DUI on a lawnmower.
Hell yeah, dude, that's an infamous story. And they're all like that. Oh yeah
man,
in Arizona. The only thing that you can't get a DUI on, from what I've heard, is a unicycle.
Interesting.
On a skateboard?
Yeah.
If you can ride a unicycle drunk, I mean, I'm gonna applaud you. Like, I'm not gonna be mad.
Yeah, at that point, that's more of a feat than it is dangerous.
But to further answer the question, I mean, I listen to that stuff a lot. I love Tom Petty and then, like, the old Austin dudes like Townes Van Zandt and Blaze Foley and Rocky Erickson.
Oh, yeah. A huge Rocky Erickson fan.
Absolutely, man. And then, I don't know, like, I like 3-6 Mafia a lot and, like, Run the Jewels for something a little more modern.
A lot of people at the toilet like Run the Jewels, I think.
Yeah, and 3-6 Mafia is legit. I've got so many Juicy J mixtapes.
Hell yeah, dude, they're great. It's and again, it's real, man. Like that scene in Hustle and Flow. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
You know, I never saw it, but I really should have.
They're talking about like how everything comes from the blues, man. All good music, I think, came from, you know, the American Southern Delta, like poor black dudes pouring everything, all the pain and injustice and stuff in their life into their music. And then, you know, a bunch of white dudes in England ripped it off. It came back around with like Lynyrd Skynyrd. It came back over here, you know, and like ZZ Top. And if you trace like the history of like the riff or whatever, it all came from the blues, in my opinion. And maybe like bluegrass, like in the Appalachian Mountains, where you're from, you know.
You say Appalachian or Appalachian?
Whatever you like, man.
It's fun to argue. People from up north say Appalachian, and then people from around here say Appalachian. It's irrelevant. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. As far as modern music goes, the blues spawned so much of it. Unless you completely abandon the blues and just go straight classical or neoclassical, you can't escape it.
Right. Yeah, and you never want to go full neoclassical.
That's a lie. You should often go full neoclassical. Nate, not always, but
Nate, frequently. Are you an Yngwie fan?
No.
Good man.
I was trying to think of like some nice way of answering that, but there's no.
You can be mean to me, Joe. Normally is.
Yeah, it's fine. I figured since we're interviewing you, we'd toss some more traditional interview questions your way.
I got one. You got a few. You've worked with a few labels. Have you ever had any weird conflicts or hangups between them with your music, or is it overall pretty easy to kind of work with everybody?
There's no conflict between the labels at all.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're Chase from Gate Creeper and I have been doing this for a long time. He pretty much, I let him handle, so I don't let him handle stuff with the band. Like I don't even have a say in it and I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like he is, right. I've worked with a lot of dudes, in bands and on the business side of things. And I don't think I have more respect for anybody than I have for him. I've never seen anybody that works as hard at it. You know, I thought I worked hard at it and I see him and it's like, it's astounding, man. The amount of connections he makes and he's just a genuinely like good person and it all comes back around, you know? So we made sure and did it right to where there wouldn't be any conflict, you know? So yeah, everything's great. as far as that goes.
Awesome. Most labels I've worked with are just the way you described. They're happy as long as you're upfront with them and tell them what you expect. They'll tell you what they expect. And
for sure.
And they're normally pretty honest about it with you, and it's great. I've only really had to deal with one European label, who I won't name, who has given me a lot of trouble. And we actually had to drop a band from my power metal compilation album because they wouldn't respond to me. So,
yeah, it happened. Sucked. Hunter Thompson wrote about it a long time ago, and paraphrasing, you know, he said, like, the music industry is a bottomless money trench filled with, like, cowards and dogs or something like that. And then he was like, and there's also a bad side, you know. And that's true. And it's a, like, historically speaking, there's a reason that the music industry has the reputation that it has. There's a whole lot of just, like, coward pieces of shit involved. So, you know, you just you try to work with the people that have some decency, and I think that we've figured out a way to do that for the most part. Yep.
Like Barry Gordy gave me $4 to play on this track. I think it was called My Girl. I don't know. Whatever. I had some completely different interview questions in mind than Randall. More traditional as in, why should I hire you?
You probably shouldn't.
Well, what do you think makes you qualified for this position?
My impatience.
What made you apply for this job?
Let me think about that. Desperation.
Oh, that's a good
answer. I wish you could be honest like that in interviews. That would make interviews so much easier. Why did you apply for this job? I'm broke, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's a rhetorical question. It really should always be. Always.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Now that one, let me actually think about that one.
That's actually relevant.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's not all bullshit out of my mouth. Thank you.
If I think about where I was a year and a half, 2 years ago, like I literally can't, I have no idea. Like the only thing I know is I'm going to be married to like the coolest person I've ever met. And hopefully I'll still be making music with like all the other second and third and fourth coolest people that I met, you know.
It seems like things are really going great in your life right now.
And I can't argue with that, man.
Dude, congratulations on the engagement and soon to be marriage.
Yeah, man.
Thank you very much, dude. It's amazing like how much things can change when you start like caring about yourself and other people. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always, you got to surround yourself with positivity. You got to do what you need to do to fulfill yourself, because if you don't, you can end up in a kind of negative cycle that affects you and the people around you versus taking care of yourself so you can take care of others around you. That's what I found personally, and it works really well for me. You're
exactly right, man. I mean, you nailed it.
So Chained to Oblivion is going to be out next month. How stoked are you to have everybody hear this entire thing?
I'm really stoked, dude. I don't really listen to stuff that I'm a part of. I've been listening to the Gate Creeper album a lot. You'll see. I'll just say that. You'll fucking see. But
we get Massive Killing Capacity Part 2.
It kind of is its own thing, man. Honestly.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I wouldn't complain if we got a complete Dismember Worship album, but new things are great, too.
It's still there. It's still there, but I mean, I think it's going to be not that anybody's like offended by the comparisons to Dismember and stuff like that. I mean, it says it right there on the Facebook, but I do think people will be surprised. It is kind of its own thing. But
that's awesome.
Chained to Oblivion, dude, it was a hellacious process making that record, which is good because I think it comes across. But, you know, I look back because, I mean, that was in October, and I look back on, like, hearing certain songs back in the control room and just, like, getting, like, teary-eyed, being like, oh, man, like, all right, I think I'm on to something here. And I hadn't listened to it since then. Until recently, and it's a really surreal and unfamiliar feeling just being like wholeheartedly proud of something I did. So yeah, I'm really stoked for people to hear it and hopefully be affected by it in some way.
I think this is something that a lot of people are going to listen to and be blown away.
I'm really excited about it based off of one track I heard. I just heard the one we played today, and it's got a lot of really cool churchy doom kind of feel. I feel like I made up, but
I like that
kind of very somber, holy sacrosanct feel. Even if the lyrical topics aren't holy at all, it does have that ancient reverence kind of going between the melodies and the vocals.
Wow,
and I love that, and I love when other bands do that. So I'm really looking forward to hearing it, man.
Thank you guys so much for all that, man. That means the world. There's, you know, there's not a whole lot of tangible payoff to pouring your whole fucking life into this kind of thing. But when people say stuff like what you guys just did, it makes it all worth it, you know?
Well,
oh yeah. Well, we thank you for writing stuff like this.
Definitely.
It fulfills us too.
It's my pleasure, man.
And unfortunately, I think that we're almost out of time today. Is there anything that you would like to tell the hordes of people listening to Oil of Hell Radio?
Man, just follow Spirit Adrift on social media. It's Twitter at Spirit Adrift, Instagram at Spirit Adrift, Facebook, same. Gate Creeper is easy to find, too. And I just want to, you know, I went to that Boris show last night and just realized, like, how many amazing people I'm fortunate enough to be involved in their lives and vice versa. And dude, Arizona's got it going on right now. Like I think between Phoenix and Tucson, there's like maybe more good heavy bands here than anywhere else in the world right now.
You've got great music and unbearable heat.
Yeah, totally. It makes people fucking nuts and write cool heavy stuff.
I've always felt the same way about Houston.
Hell yeah.
All right, Nate, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Everybody, Spirit Adrift, pick it up.
Get on it.
Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure.
Hey, Randall, you're familiar with a little band called Scab, right?
I think I'm pretty familiar with that band. Both their members are pretty prolific as far as creativity goes between art and music.
This is true. Tyree of the band Scab is a good friend of ours. He wrote a song with that band called Toil of Hell. It's a really good song.
And everything they put out is really solid. Actually, I don't think I've listened to the latest record, which upsets me because I liked everything they put out before that.
Get on it, man.
I'm going to because I need some grind in my life.
Well, the other half of that band, Taylor, he's in everything, man. But
he's busy. Dude, I feel like such a dick. He was playing with Wombath at Deathfest, and I didn't even notice till I got home.
Damn, dude.
I know. I met him the year before at Deathfest when he was with Tyree, and we immediately bonded because he loves Judas Priest and some power metal. So I should have definitely bought that dude a beer or something.
Well, he is the new guitarist in a band called The Absence, which has been, absent for about three years now, and they are back with a brand new track. And I'd love to share it with you guys today.
It's pretty sweet. I think you're going to dig it.
Yeah, if you like good mellow death, I think this is going to be right up your alley.
And keyword good, because I don't like much mellow death. And this actually has riffs, A, and B, solid guitar work and solo and songwriting. So I'm all about this.
I think it is a good. It is a good and a not bad.
It's a B good.
It is a B good, not a B bad. Anything you want to add for the folks before we close out this week?
Let's see. I played two shows of Bastyrion, and Discordia and I ate a lot of spaghetti.
Ate a lot of spaghetti. You can take that with you. All right. I'm Joe Thrashka. With me, as always, Randall Thor. This has been the Toil of Hell radio show. Here it is, The Absence with Septic Testament. We'll be right back.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.